Agatha Raisin by M.C. Beaton, dramatized for radio by David Semple, and starring Penelope Keith as Agatha. Episode 6, Murder in the Dark.
Now, where's the print gone? Ah, now, pages 1 to 10, draft quality and okay.
No!
Jesus, please, it's the middle of the night. We don't want to wake up Agatha. Too late.
Hello there. Did you sleep?
No, not really. I kept having dreams of lonely men in lighthouses blowing their brains out. What are you typing? Are those your notes about the murder?
Something like that. No. Did you want to discuss the case?
Well, I'd rather get some sleep, but all I can do is lie in bed torturing myself. And I can just as well do that vertically as horizontally.
Right, well, let's see. 2 days ago, Polly Danvers, internet millionaire, shot himself.
Or did he? He seemed happy, healthy, and he'd even arranged to see me the next day.
And yet police are convinced that he pulled the trigger. And there was nobody else on the property, which was a rather magnificent converted lighthouse.
Bought for the proceeds of his website, boytoys.com, purveyors of paintballing kits, miniature Ferraris, and all sorts of gadgets and gizmos. He leaves behind a grief-stricken but immensely wealthy widow.
That's mystery number one. Then there's mystery number two. The fairies.
Yes, or whatever it is that's causing the lights at the bottom of my garden. Tolly said he knew what they were, and it was good news. But before he could come round to tell me, he was found dead in his lighthouse with a bullet in his head.
Oh, yes, that's another thing.
What is?
I don't mean to sound insensitive, but if you lived in a lighthouse and you wanted to kill yourself, why would you go to all the bother of buying a gun? I mean, it's much easier to jump. And you do get the most marvellous views on the way down.
I'm amazed the estate agents don't put that in their brochure. And there's something else. I haven't mentioned it up till now.
What's that?
Well, when I visited Tolly in his secret room at the top of the lighthouse, there was a smell of perfume. A sickly, sweet, incredibly cloying kind of perfume.
Strange thing for a chap to be wearing.
He wasn't wearing it. It was in the room. But now I realise where I'd smelt it before. On Wendy, the landlady at the Dog and Duck.
Oh, I see. So perhaps when Mrs. Tolly was on her little shopping trips, he invited other people into his Grade 2 listed tower. Come up and make my light shine brighter.
So, have you got any theories?
No. Not as yet.
Well, let's have a look at your notes, then.
Please, I'm still working on them.
Number 77... She has a foul temper and lashes out at the slightest provocation. She never looks after her health and smokes like a dark satanic... Sorry. Which suspect is this?
Actually, no, it's not a suspect.
No?
It's all about you. I was making a list of things I dislike about you and reasons why we shouldn't be together.
What? There's about 6 pages here.
Yes, and I do have some supplementary ones in the manila folder.
James, have you been sitting up all night bitching about me on your laptop?
Yes, it was either that or lie in bed thinking it, and as you say, you can do these things just as well vertically as horizontally.
And what do you mean, reasons why we shouldn't be together? I thought we'd split up, for good.
Yes, well, we have.
Good.
Splendid.
Excellent.
So I suppose by listing reasons why we're not compatible, I'm just reinforcing an already sound decision.
Fine.
Marvellous.
Well, if that's your game, I don't see why I should sit here and watch you do it. You write your little schoolboy essay. You could even get it published in the Carsley Gazette. You might win a book token. Come on, Chivers, let's go to bed. We know when we are not wanted.
Reason 79. She is quite incapable of taking constructive criticism.
Oh, morning, Wendy.
Hello, Skip. Just come for the papers. How are you doing?
Oh, not too bad. Terrible business about that Tolly, though.
Oh, don't I just know it. I can't get it out of my head.
You were quite close to him, weren't you?
What's that supposed to mean? Just because I'm pleasant to my customers...
Morning, sir.
I wonder, would you have such a thing as a local paper?
Oh, not as Cornish folk, no. As relies on the signs in the seaweed and mysterious lights in the sky.
Yeah. Oh, stop winding him up, Sid. Give him the paper.
That'd be 50 pence.
Right. Oh, fine. Yeah, I wouldn't mind trying one of those rather fine-looking Cornish pasties.
Oh, we have a connoisseur, do we? Well, these are hand-crimped. and contain only the finest organic ingredients. Mm. Just a thing for gentlemen of discernment like yourself.
Good God, this is absolutely disgusting.
James, oh. Why are you spitting on my cat?
Oh, I didn't mean to, but do you know what they've put inside this pasta?
No, I don't know. Frog spawn? Curried pilchards? Brussels sprouts?
It's got raspberry jam in it. There's minced beef at one end and a big dollop of jam at the other.
What's wrong with that?
Well, I'm sure it's against the laws of Leviticus.
James, the traditional Cornish pasty has meat at one end and jam at the other. So the tin miners could have a complete meal underground.
Yes, but what if they went for the wrong end? I mean, you don't want to start off with a jam sandwich, do you?
They are very sensible people, the Cornish. They know how to find their way around all that crimping in the dark.
Right, well, if you don't mind, mine's going out for the gannets.
Fine. Now, are we going to discuss this case, or are you going to finish that little essay you were writing about me?
Well, I was actually going to have a look at the local paper, see if we can find out any more news about Tolly.
Oh, I'll do that. You can pick up all the crumbs from the carpet. Police in Fryfam are investigating the apparent suicide of a dot-com millionaire. Tolly Danvers, 42, was found shortly before midnight on Monday with a gunshot wound to the front of his head and a gun on the floor beside him. Police had received reports of a shot being fired at the lighthouse where he lived and arrived to find the building in total dark. That's odd.
What is?
The darkness. I mean, he was found in the lamp room.
Yeah.
It's 59 steps up. He can hardly have gone all that way in the dark.
Yes, though he possibly turned out the light when he got there, particularly if what he was going to do wasn't all that pleasant.
And why did he shoot himself in the forehead? I mean, I thought most suicides held a gun to the temple. It gives you somewhere to rest it. And, of course, you don't have to stare down the barrel.
Yeah, well, it's one of those things it's quite hard to conduct a straw poll on.
The whole thing stinks like yesterday's kippers. If that was suicide, I'm the captain of the English rugby team.
Agatha?
Yes.
I've just had a thought.
Oh, yes.
Cornish pasties.
No, thanks. I've just had cigarettes and coffee.
No, I mean, the Cornish make these rather esoteric pasties with meat at one end and jam at the other. Now, supposing for a practical joke, you decided to swap the sweet and the savoury rind, and someone who was expecting meat actually got a mouthful of raspberry jam.
James, I have to say, I don't quite see the point of this.
Look, supposing there was a device that Tolly used to use, a hairdryer, an electric toothbrush, but someone swapped it round. So instead of brushing his teeth, he actually shot himself in the forehead.
Most people can tell the difference between a toothbrush and a gun. So that is one way of getting rid of plaque.
I'm saying the killer might have constructed something which made Tolly think he was doing something innocent when he was actually pulling a trigger.
Well, what happened to that device? The police never found it.
Well, if someone got to the house before the police.
Look, the house was like Fort Knox. No one could have got into the building before the police smashed the doors down.
Oh, looks as though you've got visitors.
No, that'll be Mr. Popplewell, estate agent to Cornwall and the southwest region of hell.
Right, Raymond, as you can see, we've access right down to the beach. And we can fence that off for residents only.
Hang on, isn't that a public right-of-way?
Well, technically, but there's always a way round these things. I do have enormous influence
Morning,
on the...
Mr. Lee, I assume you're here to convert the potting shed into a multi-storey car park?
Oh, Mrs. Raisin, no, as a matter of fact, I'm showing my developer your cottage. As soon as your tenancy expires, I intend to pursue a much more upmarket clientele.
Tolly showed me the architect's plans. They appear to be drawn by an 8-year-old with crayons.
What?
How nice to meet you.
But, Mrs. Raisin, you really mustn't get stuck in the past. And why should only one resident get a sea view? My executive flats will provide them with dozens.
Yes, whilst blocking the sea view of people who already live here.
Oh, there's no point arguing with you.
People always say that when I'm winning.
Morning.
Oh, is this your husband?
No.
Colonel James Litty.
I'm Arthur Popplewell, and this is my associate, Raymond Wells.
How do you do?
Oh, what?
Well, if you're wanting a look around the property, I was thinking Mrs. Raisin and I could go for a stroll up to Kenwick Cliffs.
Oh, well, that's very thoughtful of you.
I don't want
come
to
along,
stroll
Angela.
Up.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Oh, and I want you to replace the bulb in the front hallway. He's popping.
Will do, Mrs. Raisin. Have a nice time. When you get to the edge, just keep walking.
James, why did you drag me away in the middle of a conversation?
Because I didn't want you antagonizing someone who could be useful.
That man's about as useful as an ashtray on a motorbike.
What was the last thing Tolly said to you?
He said he'd solved the mystery of the fairies.
the strange lights in my garden?
Yes, the garden that Mr. Popplewell's about to build his flats on.
Do you think that's connected to his death?
I think we should keep all our avenues open, don't you?
So, it is the lighthouse.
How can you tell? Was it the giant bulb that gave it away?
Marvellous place to live.
Yes. Though it seems wrong for it still to be so shiny and white. I almost feel they should paint it black for the next few weeks.
Oh, Mrs. Raisin.
Lucy, I hope this isn't a bad time.
Well, I'm not busy, if that's what you mean. Come in.
Thanks. This is James, my next-door neighbour from Carsley.
How do you do?
Have a seat. I would offer you coffee, but I've given my entire supply to the police and reporters. Every Tom, Dick and Harry.
Would you like me to pop down to the shops and get you some?
No, that's all right. I'll manage.
How are you coping, Lucy?
How am I coping? Well, I just am coping. I don't have much alternative. Well, I suppose I do, but I'm not going down that road.
Well, you said something that puzzled me. You said this place does something to people, that it did something to Tolly.
Well, it did. It changed him. Changed his name, for a start.
What do you mean?
Well, he only called himself Tolly when he moved here. Back in London, he was always Terry or Tell. I think he thought a posh name would help him fit in.
Oh, I see. Did it?
Oh, no. They were only too happy to take his money at the golf club. But unless you've been living here since the Doomsday Book, they just see you as, what's that ghastly word they use? An Emmett.
You weren't so keen on the move here, were you?
Biggest mistake we ever made. And for poor Tolly, it was his last. Back in London, there was always someone he could phone and go for a pint with. But as soon as he made his pile, he suddenly decided he wanted to live in the middle of nowhere. And that can do funny things to your mind.
But Lucy, when I saw him, he seemed so cheerful.
Things aren't always what they seem, Mrs. Raisin. And you can't always tell from the outside. How does that poem go? I was much further out than you thought, and not waving but drowning.
So, was it the weeping widow, or perhaps the evil estate agent?
There is a third possibility.
Yes?
The buxom barmaid, who I suspect served Tolly a little more than pints. She's next on the list.
Oh, good. About time we saw someone buxom.
Well, you're welcome to flirt with her. The last man who did ended up dead. And then there's the mystery of the fairies, or whatever it is makes those lights at the bottom of my garden.
Yes, I'd quite like to get a closer look at those. Tolly said he knew what they were, but perhaps that's one thing he's taken to the grave with him.
It had to be a rational explanation.
Was there? Maybe the world is flat. Perhaps there are fairies at the bottom of the garden, and maybe everyone will live happily ever after.
Yes. Who knows?
Agatha, what are you doing?
What do you mean? I'm skimming.
Oh, see, I mean, you're getting it all wrong. First of all, you're much better off if you launch it from a lower level. So if you bend down like
James, get off me.
Well, I'm just showing you how to do it properly. And you're much better off if you find a round, flat step.
Look, you've got to understand, I might not want your help. Sometimes it's nice to learn things for yourself, even if you do mess up.
Well, if you want to make a fool of yourself.
Yes, I'm quite sure all the mollusks are sniggering in their shells. I'm off to the pub.
Well, there's no need to take offence.
James, there was no need for you to compile your lists this morning. The reason we'll never be together is that deep down, you're still an army colonel, and I'm someone who can never take orders, right? Let's go and see Wendy.
Yeah, it's one of those days.
Wendy, we're over here.
No, look, you'll have to be quick. It's our bingo night Wednesday. I've got a lot to set up.
No, we won't keep you long. Have you met James?
Well, we've nodded at each other in the village shop.
And it's a pleasure to be nodding at you once again. Right, well, we mustn't keep you away from your balls. So, if we could just get our eyes down, then you can get back to your full house.
James, let me do the talking. We wanted to have a chat with you about Tolly.
Oh, I heard you've been snooping around the village asking questions.
It's just, there are certain things about his death that don't add up. You were the last person to see him alive. Did he, seem in good spirits?
He was in very good spirits.
Mostly vodka and tonic.
And yet he went straight home and killed himself.
Well, that's the official story, but I reckon if you want the truth, you need to go and see that wife of his.
Oh, we've just been to see her, actually. Lovely woman. Terribly grief-stricken.
Oh, do you reckon? Well, I think she can turn those waterworks on when she wants to. At least when she's got company.
Well, whatever the state of their marriage, she must be distraught.
Oh, must she now? When she's the one what drove him to it.
Oh, do you think so? You don't think it was anything to do with the guilt he felt that he was having an affair with you?
Oh, who says I was having an affair with Tolly?
It was common knowledge. And your perfume was all over his private room.
Oh, I see. And that would be this perfume?
Oh.
Good God, that's awfully potent stuff.
I make this stuff myself, I do. Out of rose petals. Got quite a reputation for my perfume. So, if any local lady should have a date with a gentleman friend, she'll buy a bottle. Which is why so many wives think I'm doing the dirty with their husbands. It's not me they're having it off with, it's another woman who's wearing my scent.
So, who was Tolly having an affair with?
Well, it wasn't another woman. And it wasn't another man neither, if that's what you're thinking. Tolly was in a long-term relationship with the wicked weed.
What? Oh, tobacco?
The very same. He was a secret smoker, and he knew that his wife wouldn't approve. So he only smoked in the top room of his lighthouse. And he used my perfume to get rid of the smell.
But surely his wife has a guess.
Oh, no, no, not a bit of it. My perfume covers up all sorts of dirty secrets. Well, Mrs. Raisin... has that been of use to you?
Absolutely, Wendy. Bingo.
I still don't quite see the relevance.
Oh, listen, James. There has got to be... Where are you?
Over here.
I wish they'd get some street lighting in this wretched place.
Now, what were you saying about outsiders coming in and interfering?
Well, if they want to carry on living in the Dark Ages...
Hey, you take my arm. I think we're on the home stretch now.
Look, there has got to be a connection. He came home roaring drunk, staggered up 59 steps, and he was gasping for a...
Don't move.
What is it?
I think I can see your fairies.
Where?
Over there. I've seen them before. In the south of France.
What are they?
Lampreys noctiluca. The glowworm.
But it's the wrong part of the world, surely.
Global warming? I thought it was the wrong time of year. Sometimes little miracles happen.
Of course. I know what Tolly meant.
Meant by what?
I found out what your fairies are, and it's good news.
What did he mean?
Well, if they've got some rare species living here, it's going to be a lot harder for Mr. Popplewell to get out his wrecking ball.
You don't think Popplewell had anything to do with the murder, do you?
No, surely not. God knows I'd like to see a few estate agents behind bars. I'm just disappointed they weren't real fairies.
Well, maybe they are.
What do you mean?
Well, just from the villages in dire straits, and a beautiful piece of heritage is about to be torn down, these appear, and they grant everybody's wishes.
Yeah, I suppose they do, really.
Oh, I really think we'd best get indoors.
Honestly, it wouldn't be the English seaside without a bit of rain. Shivers! Shivers! Oh, well done, Mr. Popplewell. I asked for a new light bulb, so he gives me one that blows every light in the house.
Funny. You'll never know what darkness is till you move right out of the country. No street lights, no cars, and a dark and stormy night.
Thank heavens for cigarettes.
Well, I would normally try and discourage you, but we need every bit of light we can get.
James.
What's the matter?
We've just walked into the house and a bulb blew, so what's the first thing I do?
Light a cigarette, but then that's always the first thing you do.
And supposing someone put a faulty bulb in the lighthouse, so when Tolly goes into the lamp room, it blows a fuse. What's the first thing he's going to do?
Well, he'd light a cigarette, but that doesn't explain why he shot himself.
Tolly made a fortune selling gadgets and gizmos. What if he should have one of those novelty cigarette lighters, the ones that look like replica pistols? Only when he goes to his desk drawer, someone's replaced it with a real pistol.
Oh, Agatha, I think you're descending into the realms of fiction.
Kent is the perfect crime. In a locked room, in an empty house, he holds a gun to his head and pulls the trigger.
But surely he would have had the cigarette lighter in his pocket.
Not in this day and age. You don't carry anything that looks like a gun with you.
Well, it still seems the most preposterous explanation.
Well, look it up on the internet. See if he sold them.
Oh, right. My computer's battery powered, so that should be working. Then I'll see if I can find the fuse box. Just as soon as I found my way into the living room.
Shivers! She's terrified of storms. Where is she?
Now, let's see. Boytoys.com.
James?
Agatha?
I just had a thought.
Yes?
On Sunday night, Tolly went into his lamp room, flicked a switch, and all the lights went out.
Well, so your theory goes.
Isn't it interesting that the same things just happened to us?
Oh, dear. I see what you mean.
Well done, Mrs. Raven. And I'll save you the trouble. We do sell replica pistol cigarette lighters, along with bugging devices so you can hear what people are saying about you, and skeleton keys to get you into every house.
Lucy, I had a feeling we might meet again. Where's Chivers?
I locked her in the cellar. Couldn't stand her endless hissing.
I'll just go and get her.
Stay where you are! And in case you're wondering, no, this is not a cigarette lighter. Although that's one way to give up smoking.
Yes, it's a Glock 18 by the looks of it.
You know about guns, do you?
Well, I was in the army for 30 years. We didn't spend all our time on productions of the Mikado.
I bought this in a pub in Bethnal Green. You can get all sorts, you know. Guns, drugs, plasma screen TVs. Honestly, who needs Harrods?
Well, I have to say, you took a huge risk. I'm not saying I approve, but it's hard not to be impressed.
I learned all about risk from watching Tolly run his businesses. It was one harebrained scheme after another. But he always said, if you believe in something hard enough, you can make it happen.
Lucy, why did you have to kill him? What had he done?
What had he done? Besides dragging me out to the middle of nowhere, locking me in that wretched tower, taking me away from friends and family.
And you killed him for that?
I tried to get a divorce. I tried to walk away. But every penny of my money was tied up in his business. And I just couldn't face another winter in bloody Cornwall.
Now, look, Lucy. Here's my mobile phone. You can dial 999 and all the guilt you feel, all the fear of being caught, will all be over.
Well, why would I want to do that, for God's sake?
Because, Lucy Danvers, you killed your husband. And you're now standing in Samphire Cottage, Fryfam, holding a gun to two people's heads.
There's no need to describe everything. What do you think this is, Jackanory?
James, don't provoke her.
I think I know what I'm doing. But, of course, you can't actually use that gun, can you? Because if the police found another two bodies in such a small village...
Oh, I'll be long gone by then. Besides, you're going in the sea. Who knows when or where you'll wash up?
Well, are we at least allowed to say our last goodbyes?
Of course. I'm not a complete monster. Now, up against the wall, in the moonlight, where I can see you.
Oh, James, I don't think I've ever been so scared in my life.
Well, perhaps it's the army training, but a dangerous situation actually helps me to see things more clearly. And can I just say, from the very first moment I saw you, when your car crashed into mine on a snow-covered road, I've loved you. More than anything else in the world. Admittedly, there were also times I wished to kill you, but on balance, I'd say the 5 years I've spent with you have been infinitely superior to the 50 years without you.
James?
Yes?
Did it really take a woman pointing a gun to your head for you to say, I love you?
Well, I suppose it did, really. Perhaps it would have been possible without the firearm, but now we'll never know.
Thank you, James. Goodbye.
Goodbye, Agatha.
No!
Right, Agatha, run!
What? Get back!
I forgot to say, the police are on their way. When I gave you my mobile, I'd already dialed their number.
No! No! No!
Chivers? Chivers?
down here? Oh, there you are. Did the nasty woman lock you in the cellar? Well, don't worry. I think it's her turn to be shut inside a dark room.
Good Lord, there must be half an inch of water down here. I'll just go and get a moppet and buck... I mean, bucket and mop. Sorry, still a bit shaken.
James?
Yes?
Those things you said when you had a gun to your head, were you playing for time, or did you really mean them?
Well, of course I was playing for time. You didn't seriously believe all that mush about hearts missing a beat and star-crossed lovers?
No.
Good job the police got here when they did. I don't know if I could have filled a whole half hour with terms of endearment.
I'm amazed you managed 30 seconds.
On the other hand, it is true that the 5 years since I met you have been rather more interesting than the 50 years before.
Oh, so I haven't completely ruined your life?
No, just reconstituted it somewhat. Agatha.
Yes?
You know when our attempt at marriage went all pear-shaped, and I said it was over between us and we could never, ever get married?
Yes, James, my memory hasn't gone completely.
Well, could I possibly repeat that sentence, but this time replace the word never with the phrase quite possibly?
But all we ever do is fight with each other.
Well, I can't bear the silence when we're not fighting.
But we haven't got anything in common.
Well, you wouldn't want to have anything in common with me, would you?
It's sheer stupidity.
Yes, but I've had 55 years of searing intellect, and frankly, I don't much care for it. We could get a little holiday home here and come out every night and feed the fairies.
Oh, James.
Yeah.
Oh, we must be mad. Completely mad.
Deadly stark staring bonkers.
Do you really think it'll work? I mean, do you really think we've got a future?
Oh, there's only one way to find out. Of course, it could all end in murder.
That wouldn't surprise me in the least.
Mm.
Well, over your dead body or mine?
In Agatha Raisin, Penelope Keith starred as Agatha, and Malcolm Sinclair was James. Mrs. Bloxby was played by Liza Sadovy, Lucy by Rebecca Sayre, and Mr. Popplewell by Stephen Critchlow. Agatha Raisin was dramatised by David Semple from the novel by M.C. Beaton, and the producer was Carol Smith.